All right. Praise God. Take your Bibles out this morning. Open them to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. And as I just mentioned to the children, tomorrow is Memorial Day in our country. And let me just go ahead and tell you that I have a very strong-held belief that every citizen. Now, if you're not a citizen, this doesn't include you, okay? And so you can celebrate or do whatever you want in something else. But if you're a citizen, every citizen should stop and thank and remember those who died so that we could breathe free, so that we could live freely. And Memorial Day is a very important day for us because, beloved, freedom is not free. It is blood bought. And to imagine that that someone would stand for me and give his life or give her life so that I might be free from the Revolutionary War all the way through Afghanistan, Iraq, and my guess would be before too long in Iran. There have been those who did not count their life so precious as to willingly lay it down in sacrifice for this nation. We owe those men and women a debt of gratitude, and we should never forget. And we must also teach and train the next generation that freedom is not free. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the over at the old schoolhouse at the Heritage Foundation, we will have a community-wide Memorial Day remembrance and service. And I'd like to invite you to come as we remember and never forget. Because when you forget, you prepare yourself to lose. And so we must remember, and we must teach those who come after us. And so that's for every citizen. Now, for every believer, and for those of us here who call ourselves children of God, you have a dual citizenship. You are a citizen of this nation. And it's a wonderful nation, thank God. I still believe this is one nation under God, and I am not ashamed to say that, and I'm very proud to be an American citizen, but I hold a dual citizenship, and if you're a child of God, you do as well. You hold citizenship in the United States of America. You hold citizenship in the kingdom of God, and quite honestly, one is more significant than the other. I love this country in which we live, but I love the Lord Jesus because my citizenship in the kingdom of God is also blood bought. By the way, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of freedom. And the greatest freedom in all the world and in all of creation is soul freedom. It is the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. And that freedom is blood bought. By the blood of Jesus Christ, it was paid for by His precious blood, and it is a tremendous thing, and God wants us to understand, and He wants us to remember, and that's the reason we come regularly to worship. It's the reason we celebrate together. We sing these songs about the blood and about what God has done, because Jesus the carpenter, Jesus the Son of God, reminded us. And He never wants us to forget. Now, in this passage of Scripture we're going to share this morning, the Lord Jesus tells a story. It's a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly message. And it is a story of the kingdom of God. And it's a story to remind us who we are and what we are so that we'll never forget, because if you forget, you're going to lose. Now, the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel holds or contains seven parables of the kingdom. The first parable was the parable of the sower and the sowing and the seed and the soil. And we saw in that parable that the sower and the sowing and the seed are perfect. They're complete. There's no problem with those things at all. The problem is with the soil. And the question is, what kind of soil is my heart? And how do I receive God's word, his living word and his written word? How do I receive it? And what is he able to do in my life through the way that I receive the word? Now, the second parable that we're going to look at this morning is for, really, it's a parable of the weeds. And again, we have a sower, and we have sowing, and we have seed, and we have soil. The problem in this particular parable is that there's also an enemy who comes along, and he has something else to sow. So I want to encourage you to read along with me in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, and we'll begin in verse 24. In verse 24. He, that is Jesus, presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven, he said, may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and left. And when the plants sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also appeared. The landowner's slaves came to him and said, "Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he told them. "And so, do you want us to go and gather them up?" the slaves asked him. "No," he said. "When you gather up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles to burn them, but store the wheat in my barn." Now, there's the story. There's the parable. Now, the interpretation is, or the explanation is found down in verse 36. So look down to verse 36. It says, "Then he dismissed the crowds and he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain the parable of the weeds in the field to us.'" Now, I want you to notice that Jesus told the story to everybody, but the explanation was given to his disciples. Because the mysteries of the kingdom is given to those who will receive. Those who have ears to hear, let him hear, he's going to say. So this explanation comes to the disciples. "Explain the parable of the weeds in the field to us," they asked. Verse 37, he replied, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather from his kingdom everything that causes sin and those guilty of lawlessness. And they will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone who has ears to hear should listen." Now, as you just hang on to that last verse for just a minute, verse 43, I want to point out to you, child of God, I want to speak to God's people, to Christians here today. And if you're not a child of God, then if you haven't already tuned me out, you can. Although my prayer for you is, as the Word of God finds fertile soil, will take root. But for a child of God, I want you to see that your destiny is to shine like the sun. You're a Christian. You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He lives in your heart and life. He has given you a destiny, and your destiny is to shine like the sun. Look at that again in verse 43. The righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Beloved child of God, please receive that. Your destiny, what God plans or purposes or determines to do in your life, is for you to shine like the sun in the Father's kingdom. And then he says, so if you've got an ear, listen up. If you can hear me, hear and understand. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now that's your destiny, to shine like the sun. But there's a problem. And the problem is not what God has done. God has done a very good thing. And what God does through Christ Jesus and what he is doing and what he is completing in your life is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And for freedom, he has set you free. But the problem is we have an enemy. There is an adversary. And while God the Father and the Lord and through the Lord Jesus Christ have sowed good seed, we also have an adversary, and that adversary sows bad seed. Now, that's the problem here. In fact, in the story, Jesus said that the farmer, the sower, went out and he sowed the good seed, and then the enemy came along and he sowed bad seed. By the way, the word for bad seed here is the Greek word zizania, and it literally refers to a weed known as darnel, or sometimes called bearded darnel. And by the way, darnel, excuse me, as it is growing, is almost indistinguishable from wheat. And so the good seed in the story, in the earthly story, is wheat. So a farmer went out and he sowed his wheat. A enemy came along and sowed bearded darnel. And as it began to come up, the darnel looks exactly like wheat. In fact, it is indistinguishable. You cannot tell the difference between bearded darnel and wheat. Brother, thank you so much. Let me just take a small drink here. Now, you cannot tell. In fact, in Kansas, the wheat farmers there called bearded darnel cheat. It is not wheat, it is cheat. And so it grows up with the wheat. You can't tell the difference until it heads out, until it produces fruit. And when it produces fruit, now you can tell the good seed from the bad seed. Now you can tell the wheat from the cheat. Now, what Jesus does is he gives us a picture of the kingdom of God. And again, for those of you who are a child of God, he's talking to you and me and how we function or how we belong in the kingdom of God and some things that are going on in the kingdom. There are several lessons here that I want to lay on you this morning, if you will, or seven lessons that I want to pull from this passage of Scripture, and I want to encourage you with them today, and at the end, then I'm going to challenge you, because the ultimate challenge is this, and this is for each one of us. Am I wheat or am I cheat? Is what I have real? Is what I am in Christ Jesus? Is it authentic? Is it genuine? Is it the work and the power of God in my life so that he is producing fruit in my life? Or is it cheat? Is it bearded darnel? Is it bad seed? Is it fake? Now, ultimately, that's going to be the question. But before we get there, let me just give you a couple of truths or a couple of lessons from this interesting parable, okay? So here's lessons from the weeds. That's what I would call this. And the entire title of the sermon is Every Wheat Shall Bow. Okay, lesson number one is this. The sower, and the sower is the Lord Jesus. The sower sows his seed, and the seed that he sows is God's people. That's you and me. So the sower, the Lord Jesus, sows good seed. That's his people, that's you and me, in his field, and his field is the world. And so the Lord Jesus sows people like you and me in the world as he sees fit. Now that's exactly what Jesus said when he interpreted this parable for the disciples. The disciples came and said, what does this parable mean? Look down at verse 37. He said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. He's talking about himself. That's Jesus. And so Jesus is the sower in this particular parable. And then in verse 38, he says, the field is the world, and the good seed, those are the sons of the kingdom. And so just get this, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus himself, sows good seed, that's you and me, that's the people of the world, that's the people of the kingdom, and he sows us in the world. Now, there's an awful lot in that little phrase right there, and I honestly don't have time to take it all in or to give it all to you, but let me just give you a couple of thoughts here. First of all, I want you to understand that this is his field. In fact, if you look back at verse 24, as the Lord Jesus is speaking, he says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Now watch this. The world is the field. Who does it belong to? It belongs to the Lord Jesus. He created it. He made it. He's talking about the world now. It's His. And I emphasize this because there's a tendency on some preachers or some other folks' part to say, well, this world belongs to the devil. And you know what? There's a couple of passages of Scripture that talks about the devil as the prince of this world or the ruler of this world. And I'm not disputing those things at all. If we were to go back and look at those, we would find out that he has been given some authority in this world, but the world itself, the field itself, belongs to God. Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is His, beloved. He is sovereign God over this world. He created it. It's good. And He can do anything that He wants to with it. And so at the very beginning here, I don't want to give the devil his due. In fact, I don't want to give the devil any credit whatsoever. This world doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to God, okay? It is His field. And so in His field, the Lord Jesus is at work. And what He's doing is He is sowing seed into this field. Now, what's He sowing? Well, He's sowing His people. Did you see that again? Look over again at verse 37. He says, and the good seed, and this is actually verse 38, are the sons of the kingdom. And so what the Lord Jesus is doing is He is taking His people. And when He says sons, He's talking about not just the boys. He's talking about the girls as well. So He's talking about men and women, His children. The Lord Jesus is taking us and He is sowing us into the world. That's you and me, beloved, okay? So you and I are the seed and we are called children of God. And let me just say what a privilege it is to be called a children of God or a child of God. It's a privilege to be called an American. I love my country. I thank the Lord for this country. But what a privilege it is to be called a child of God. And I'm called a child of God because I'm blood bought. And by the way, when he's talking about the children of God here, he doesn't distinguish between good and bad people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about righteous versus unrighteous. Now listen to me very carefully. A child of God is someone who is righteous. Not based upon what we do ourselves. My righteousness is not my own. My righteousness comes from Christ Jesus. Now he doesn't say it's good people. He says it's righteous people. Children of God are righteous. And the reason we make that distinction is because sometimes righteous people do bad things. Sometimes unrighteous people do good things. You can't tell the difference between somebody based on whether or not they do good or bad. That's why a lot of times, you know, somebody will die and they might have been a scoundrel, not had anything to do with God, but they did good things. And we'll stand up and say, well, this is a good person. Absolutely. People can be good and not be righteous because they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to become a child of God, and that is by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. When you put your faith and trust in Him, what He does is He pulls your unrighteousness out and fills you with His righteousness. And so now you are a child of the King. You're a child of the kingdom. And what Jesus says is God is at work. He is at work making righteous people like you and me. And then what he does is he puts us in his field. He puts us in the world. And beloved, let me just say again, we're talking about righteousness and unrighteousness. We're not talking about good and bad because everybody does good and everybody does bad. And you become righteous by the blood of Jesus. But what he does is when he makes us righteous, he doesn't immediately take us to heaven. He doesn't set us aside in a monastery somewhere. And when we talk about the world here, we're not just talking about the church. So yes, the church is in the world, but the people of God, Lord, listen to me. Children of God are placed in the world. This is his purpose. This is his plan. He is working out his purpose and plan in your life in the world. I emphasize that again because what happens to many of us is what we try to do is we try to isolate ourselves or insulate ourselves from an unrighteous, unholy world. And Jesus says, that's not what I'm doing with you. I have saved you. I've blood bought you. I've made you right in the sight of God, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to sow you in this world. Now, beloved, I want you to understand what this means. This means that where you are, right here in this community, right here in this nation, in the job that you have, wherever it is that you find yourself around unbelievers, it's not by accident. It is by the purposes and plans of God, and He is working out His purposes and plans in you, in the world. The sower, Jesus, sows His seed, that's you and me, in this world. He doesn't separate us out of the world. He actually puts us in the world, and He works His plans out in the world through people like you and me. Now, why in the world does He do that? Why doesn't He just take us immediately to heaven? Why didn't He just rapture us as soon as you get saved, and you don't have to put up with this mess, and you can go from glory, you know, to glory? Why doesn't He just take us out? Now, there may be a number of different reasons for that, but basically, the basic reason is He wants to mature you and produce fruit in your life so that this world might know that He lives and rules and reigns because they see Him in you, and that this world might be changed or transformed through you. Beloved, what God is doing in you is He is growing you to maturity. I mean, just think about this. What do you do? Why do you put wheat in the ground? You put wheat in the ground so that it's going to sprout. And then it sprouts, it's going to grow. And then finally, it's going to produce a head of wheat. It's going to produce fruit. That's the whole purpose of planting in the first place. This is why God has planted you in this world, to grow you into maturity, to grow you into something that this world looks at and says, that's crazy, that's impossible. And then in your life to produce the kind of fruit that actually works in a transformative way in the lives of other people and other people all around you. And this is why He doesn't separate us from a lost and dying world. He actually puts us in the world so that our lives can bear fruit for Jesus. Now, there's a process to maturity, and that's another sermon. I don't have time to go through that. There is also the nature of the fruit, and that's a whole sermon series. I preached that a couple of years ago in the summer on the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You can go back and listen to the podcast if you want to hear about the fruit. But that's what He's doing in your life. Child of God, the sovereign Lord of all this universe has saved you, and He's put you right where you are. It's not an accident, and He's done it on purpose, and He is working in your life to grow you to maturity and to produce fruit in your life. Now, hang on to that as I give you the second thing, because we're going to come back to that here in just a second. And the second thing is this. The weeds in God's world are a result of a determined adversary. There are weeds in this world, and Jesus says the weeds are the unrighteous one. Now, again, we're not talking about bad people per se. We're talking about those who have not been saved. We're talking about people who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We are talking about those who are lost in their sin, might be good people, might be self-righteous people, might be salt of the earth type people. But they're lost. They've never trusted Jesus. And Jesus says, this is the bad seed. Now, He also says that there is an enemy that has sown this seed, and then He identifies that enemy as the devil. Now, watch what happens. There's a sowing that takes place, and the seed sprouts and comes up, and nobody can tell the difference. It all looks green. It all looks great. But then it continues to grow, and it begins to reach maturity. And then the workers begin to look at it and say, hold on just a second, there's some weeds in here. Now, where did those weeds come from? Why is there evil in this world? Why do bad people do bad things? And why is this type of stuff going on in our world? And the Lord Jesus says, well, there's an enemy that has done it. In fact, did you notice that down? It says the workers look and say, where did these weeds come from? That's verse 27. And the answer is, an enemy did it. An enemy did it. In other words, there is an adversary. There is somebody who is diametrically opposed to the work of the sower, and the sower in this case is the Lord Jesus. And he is working to sow bad seed. Now let me just mention a couple of things here. First one is this. There's only two kinds of seed in this world. There's righteous and unrighteous. There's good, there's bad. There is God's seed, there's the seed of the enemy. And I mention that for all those who say, well, wait a minute, aren't we just all God's children? I mean, really, can't we just get along? You know, I mentioned this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and that really is the way of the world. Oprah would be very happy with all that. Hey, listen, we're all trying to get to the same place. It's just one God out there, no matter what you call him or however you worship him. We're all headed to heaven. That's where we're just all children of God. Well, that's very popular in our world today. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there are children of God and there's children of the devil. And again, we're not necessarily talking about bad people. We're just talking about unrighteous. We're talking about those who have not had their sin forgiven by the blood of Jesus, not blood bought. And so every one of us fit in one of these two categories. You're either a child of God or you're not. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Some are one and some are the other. But the thing is, it's often hard to tell the difference. How do you tell the difference between someone who is righteous and someone who is unrighteous? Because as I said earlier, sometimes righteous people can do bad things. Sometimes unrighteous people can do good things, right? So how do you tell the difference? They grow along side by side, and sometimes they often look the same. How do you tell the difference? Well, the answer is you can't tell the difference till the fruit starts coming out. And notice this. These weeds come from the enemy, from the adversary, from the evil one. Down in verse 39, Jesus used all those words. He said the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And that word devil refers to the evil one, the one who is the personification of evil, the one who is diametrically opposed to the things of God. Beloved, the evil one is the author of evil. The devil is the one who does these things. And I emphasize this again because there's a tendency on the part of some to blame evil on God. Beloved, God is not the author of evil. When something evil happens, it is not God who did it. Now, he takes all things, good things and bad things, and he works them together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, which means that he can take an evil thing and he can turn it into good. Only God can do that. But God is not the author of evil. Not too long ago, I was watching the news or something, and a young lady had been killed by a drunk driver. And the cry was, why did God take this young life? Why did God? It's almost like, why did God kill this young woman? And my thought was, you mean God, like that drunk driver was God? Or God made that guy drink? Or God put, I mean, how in the world do we think in those terms? You know, when we begin to blame God for evil, the evil one, the devil, man, he's just laughing at that. He's having a field day because he's got us right where he wants us. By the way, that's blasphemy. When you take the things of the devil and you credit them to God, that is the definition of blasphemy. Evil entered this world through the evil one. God did not create evil. God did not make it. There is an enemy. There is an adversary. He is the devil. He is completely opposed to the things of God, to the ways of God, to the purposes and plans of God. He's trying to stop, to thwart, to destroy the things that God is doing in your life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But but he has overcome the world. The Lord Jesus has overcome the world. And this is why we've got to keep going back to him, because he is the one that undergirds us, that upholds us. He's the one that protects us. I mean, in this world, he says, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And just think about this evil one. Why in the world would someone go into a neighbor's field and sow weeds? I mean, if you were a farmer living here and you had a farmer next door and he was growing wheat, how does that offend you or bother you? I mean, you're trying to grow your own thing. Why can't you do your thing and let him do his thing? No, no, no. The evil one doesn't do that. What he does is he goes and see and sows the weeds. He sows the bad seed into the field of God. Beloved, the devil is doing it. He's been doing it. He still does it. The devil sows his bad seed into God's good world. Now, that's the second thing. Here's the third one. The Lord has set a day of judgment when wheat and weeds will be separated. The Lord, the righteous judge, has set a day of judgment when wheat and cheat will be separated. Now, the workers noticed the weeds, and they said, so, Master, you want us to go start pulling weeds? I mean, we need to get rid of these weeds. And this is the human reaction. We want to get rid of that which is bad. We want to get rid of that which is evil. We want to uproot it. We want to weed it out. And the Lord says no. Now, he says no for a couple of reasons. The first one is, when you pull up a weed, you're going to pull up some wheat along with it. Because what happens with bearded darnel? When it's growing with wheat, the roots intertwine. And so if you go along and you start to pull up weeds, what you're going to do is pull wheat up at the same time. And so the Lord says, I don't want you rooting out the wheat. Now, in saying that, he's also saying this, it's not your job to destroy evil. That's God's job. It's not your job to sit as the judge. In fact, none of us can sit as a judge for anybody else. We're not called on to root out evil. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't call sin, sin. It doesn't mean that we don't take the Word of God and apply it to the things of this world. But our job is not to pass condemning judgment on this world. A couple of years ago, I was doing a funeral. It was in my church, and another pastor who is retired came to actually preach the funeral sermon for this lady that had died. And I was on the stage with him, and I did the obituary and all those things, but he brought the message. And the woman that had died was a precious saint of God. She loved the Lord. She had been a faithful servant of the Lord, worked in the church and all that other stuff. But her husband evidently had been a rascal. I never had met her husband. He had died a number of years before I got there. I think probably at least 10 years before she had died. And so this pastor and this lady's children were sitting down there. Now, their father had died 10, 15 years earlier, and here now she has died. And the pastor stood up, and he said, you know, this lady, she was a dear saint. She loved the Lord, but her husband, I don't know that he used these exact words. I can't remember his exact words, but basically he said, her husband is burning in hell this day. And he spent the entire sermon, the entire funeral sermon, preaching that old boy who had already been dead into hell. He was pulling up a weed that had been dead for at least 15 years, maybe longer. I don't know how long the guy had been dead, but he was pulling up a weed, and I sat there and I watched the faces of those children. And if there was any openness whatsoever to the gospel, and at that point, I honestly don't know what their relationship with the Lord was. But if there was any openness to the gospel, it was shut down, because pulling out that dead weed destroyed the wheat or the opportunity of God to do anything in the lives. And that's why Jesus said, look, that's not your job. You don't go around pulling out weeds. He said, I'll take care of that. In fact, he said, there is a day coming. And what he's talking about, he's not saying don't call sin, sin. He's saying you, me, we as God's people, our job is not condemning judgment. Our job is not to look at somebody and call them a weed or call them a weed, because oftentimes you can't tell the difference. And you might call somebody righteous who's actually unrighteous, and now you're blaspheming God because you're calling the work of the devil, you're calling it the work of the Lord. Or you might call somebody who is righteous, you might call them unrighteous, and again, you're blaspheming God. That's not our job. And so our job is not to pull up the weeds. Our job is to be faithful as wheat. But understand, there is a day set aside for judgment. In fact, down in verse 41, Jesus said, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather in the harvest. Beloved, there is a day of judgment coming. And oftentimes in Scripture, the day of judgment is referred to as a harvest. Go to Revelation chapter 14. And there the Lord comes down with the sickle, and he begins to reap the harvest of unrighteousness and righteousness. Now here is the eternal destination of everybody. Beloved, there's one or two places we're headed. We're headed to heaven, we're headed to hell. We're headed to paradise, we're headed to the lake of fire. We're righteous, we're unrighteous. Those two things just divide every person in this world. But God is the righteous judge, and he's the one that determines one from the other. You and I are not called to judge or pass condemning judgment. You and I are called to grow as wheat. So, the Lord Jesus is sowing good seed, that's you and me, in this world. He doesn't separate us from the world, he puts us in the world. He said, I put you in the world, not to be of the world, but to be in the world. And there is a determined adversary who is out there, and he's sowing weeds. He's doing everything he can to stop what God wants to do in your life. But there is a day of judgment coming, and we can trust the Lord. Okay, now those are the three truths or the three things that I would give to you really as encouragement. Now, let me just wrap all this up in this way. The righteous will shine like the sun. If you're a child of God, you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let me just say it again. This is your eternal destiny. You are going to shine like the sun. Now, you might not be there yet, but this is the reason. Some of you are shining already because I can see it. Some, not quite so much. We're still in the growth stage. Some of us have sprouted out and bared the fruit, and that fruit is shining like the sun. Beloved, this is your destiny. This is what God is doing in this world in you. What he wants to do is he wants to mature you, and there's a process that he's taking you through. And in that maturation process, he wants you to influence the weeds. Now, beloved, this is where the parable or the analogy kind of falls apart just a little bit, because in nature, a weed will never be wheat. Bearded darnel will never turn in to wheat. It cannot take place, absolutely impossible. But watch this. In the spiritual world, cheat can become wheat. As a matter of fact, everybody in here who's wheat, everybody in here who is a child of God, everybody in here who is a child of righteousness, at one time or another, you're a child of unrighteousness. You know, the Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Bible says the wages of sin is death. Every one of us in here at one time or another were cheat. And then by his miraculous power, somehow, someway, God reached down and turned the cheat into wheat. And you know what? And you know how he did that? He used other wheat all around you. Everybody in here, everybody who is a child of God, somebody influenced your life for Christ. Somebody shared the gospel with you. Somebody, you looked at their life and you saw the living Savior. And somehow, some way, you said, I want that. And then God reached down by his saving power. They didn't save you, but Jesus did. In other words, he used the wheat to change the cheat. And only God can do that, and that's the power of God. And beloved, this is why you're not taken out of this world. You're left in this world so that by your life, the wheat can influence, can impact the cheat. So the question is, are you wheat or are you cheat? Are you a child of righteousness or a child of unrighteousness? Child of God or a child of the devil? Are you on your way to heaven or on your way to hell? And you say, well, how can I tell the difference? How can I know? How can I be sure? I want to show you this picture right here. Now, it's the one I've used as a background, and it's kind of light. I don't know if you can see that, but what that is a field of wheat with some weeds in it. Now, you've got good seed and you've got bad seed. That's what happened there, and that's what produced that in that field. Wheat seed, weed seed, okay? You've got wheat and you've got cheat. I want you to look at the weeds. I want you to notice how straight and tall they are. They're just standing right up. Do you notice something about the wheat? Have you ever noticed that? Wheat, when it ripens, you know what it does? Very naturally, it bows. It bows. Isn't that interesting? Every stalk of wheat in that picture is bowing under the sun. It's bowing towards his creator. Do you know how you tell the difference between wheat and cheat? The wheat is always going to bow. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. That day is going to come. In this day, the wheat is already bowing. The cheat is standing tall and proud. Look at me. I can do this. I don't need God. I can do my whatever it is. We're trusting in our own righteousness. We're trusting in our church going. We're trusting in whatever it is. We're not bowing before the Father. And I ask you this question this morning. Have you bowed before the King? Have you given him your life? Have you put your faith and trust in him? Every wheat will bow. And blood, if you've never bowed before the King, today I want to invite you, because the Son of God is at work in this world, and he is sowing good seed, and you're it. Father, I pray that you would help us today to bow before you. Lord, I thank you that cheat can become wheat, that you don't leave us to our own devices, you don't leave us the way we are, but what we are, we can be different. We can be living. So God, today I pray in the name of Jesus, that as you move through this place, as our hearts are open to you, Lord, that the bearded darnel would be transformed and changed, that the cheat would become wheat in the saving power by the blood of Jesus. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.